Jesus the good teacher, Jesus the therapist, Jesus the giver of bling. The Issues Etc. book of the month for June is Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? 12 False Christs. It's written by regular guest Dr. Matt Richard. Read an excerpt at issuesetc.org or purchase Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? By calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. book of the month, Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up?
The Bible tells us that to minister to the needs of God's creation is an act of worship. To ignore those needs is to dishonor the God who made us. And that is just what we're doing by walking away from this accord.
The American left liked Russia a whole lot more when it was Marxist and communist than the American left likes Russia now.
The fundamental problem for every society is the unattached male.
The fact of the virginal conception, the fact that she is the Theotokos, the mother of God and so forth. We rejoice in those things because they tell us something special, not about Mary, but instead they tell us something special about Jesus, about who he is.
Missouri dairy farmers love Issues Etc.
Ordinarily, the picture when you think of a preacher or someone preaching a sermon is they are standing there on the dais, they're in the pulpit, whatever the configuration may be, and at least nearby, at hand, someplace in the general vicinity of the preacher, either on the pulpit or in his hand or on a table someplace, is the Bible. Now, that Bible may remain closed. It may. But it ought to be, at least if we follow the biblical model of Christian preaching, it ought to be the word from which the preacher preaches. He's there to preach the word, not his own word. But what if that preacher's standing there, he may still have a Bible in his hand, or in some cases, she may still have a Bible in her hand or on the dais or the pulpit, but the book not only remains closed, what the preacher begins to preach is something they say they have heard personally from God, not to be found in the Bible, but something they heard, a prophetic word, they say, that they heard from God. Is that Christian preaching? Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. This week in Pop American Christianity kicks off the hour. We're going to be talking about sermons based on alleged direct prophetic revelations from God. Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith will be our guest. Then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We'll play our four soundbites for you. And after we have played those four soundbites, you call 1-877-623-6943. You email talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC, and you vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. In the meantime, it's time for This Week in Pop American Christianity, sermons based on alleged direct prophetic revelations from God. Pastor Chris Roseborough is a regular guest pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and hosts the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
We are going to hear from some pieces from a sermon preached by a prophetess, okay, the female ending there. Are women preachers becoming more common in Pop American Christianity?
Yeah, it's absolutely fascinating to watch. And what I mean by fascinating is that so much of evangelicalism in America is still very politically conservative. And they're even politically savvy in the sense that they want a conservative, you know, judges and politicians who don't monkey around with the words of the Constitution. They, you know, they want somebody who's like a strict constructionist. But when it comes to the Bible and what it says, they couldn't be more liberal, because women preaching during the sermon time in evangelicalism is so commonplace that nobody, you know, bats an eyelash at it, despite the very clear prohibitions given in God's word against it.
All right, so who are we going to be hearing from this time as an example of preaching based upon not Holy Scripture, but upon claimed prophetic revelations from God?
All right, so we're heading down under. We're heading to Queensland, Australia, to a place called Glory City Church. Their pastrix and prophetess, who's now been promoted to an apostle, her name is Catherine Runala, but we're going to be hearing from a very famous Elijah-list prophetess. Her name is Lana Vosser, and Lana travels the world preaching in churches all over the place. And when she has an opportunity to preach, her Bible oftentimes doesn't even make it to the podium. She just preaches what she believes the Lord is speaking directly to her. And so as we listen to her in the three different sound bites that we have, we're going to note kind of how many different ways this strays from clear biblical texts, but also note that there's kind of a template for how prophets or prophetesses smuggle in these other words that they claim are words from God but have nothing to do with what the Bible actually says.
So tonight, I really want to share with you a message that the Lord gave me through a dream at the end of last year. One thing that you will learn about me in the next half an hour, if you don't know already, is that I am a big, big dreamer. I actually put a Facebook status up this week and I said, I think I need a full-time dream interpreter. I think I need somebody in my life who I can bless financially that can help me interpret my dreams. Because every night, every couple of nights, I'm constantly dreaming and waking up the next morning going, I have absolutely no idea what that means, right? But don't we love the way that the Lord speaks? Every dream, every symbol, every creative way that he speaks is an invitation to encounter. It's an invitation, it's a journey to go with the Holy Spirit to find out what he's sharing. And so my life is very much characterized by that. I will have dreams, the Lord will give me highlight pictures, I have no idea what they are, and then I seek him. And it's this amazing, fun journey of seeing him bring pieces of a puzzle together. So this message I'm going to share with you tonight, I really believe is one of the main themes that God is highlighting right now in this season. And like I said, it was birthed through a dream and it was really creative. This dream, when I woke up, I thought, I have no idea what you're talking about, Lord, and he took me on a journey. So I hope that this dream blesses you as much as it did me, because I've preached this message quite a lot around the world, and I just think it's a fun way of the Lord communicating his heart for this season.
Okay, so you said we should be listening for the variety of ways that she describes what she claims was a revelation from God himself.
Yeah, this goes wrong contrary to clear biblical text in several different ways, and there's a little bit of a template for how she's doing things. So let's kind of start with the obvious. I mean, here we have a woman at a church service in a church that claims to be Christian getting up and delivering a sermon. Now, I want to read to you a portion of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is a passage of scripture that is talking about the proper use of the gifts of the Spirit. And I want to read starting at verse 29, but I want to keep going for a little bit. So the Apostle Paul, putting some order around the chaos that was happening at the church at Corinth, says this: let two or three prophets speak, let the others weigh what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. For all can prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints, the women should keep silent in the churches. They are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the Torah also says. If there is anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. Or was it from you that the word of God came? Or are you the only ones it has reached? If anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things I am writing to you are a command of the Lord. If anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. Now, I read that out in context. I didn't weave together several passages. That was all in the proper order back when the New Testament hadn't been finished yet, and the Holy Spirit, through the laying on of hands through the apostles, imparted to some the ability to give prophetic utterances during a church service for the building up of the body of Christ. This prophecy gift diminished and disappeared with the death of the apostles and the finishing of the New Testament, and now we have the Word of God made more sure, which is what Peter said as he was getting ready to go to his death, which is the written Word. But in putting order in the church service, the Apostle Paul, in talking about prophecy, makes it very clear women are to remain silent in the church, and if anyone thinks they are spiritual, they must acknowledge that what he is saying is a command from God. And so here we have Lana Vozer, specifically a woman, getting up during a church service, claiming to be a prophetess and receiving direct revelation from God, while absolutely defying and opposing by her actions what the Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said should be taking place. She's in rebellion. So immediately we have to ask the question, why should we believe that she's hearing from God when her actions are contrary to Scripture? Now, here's another example in which what she's doing and saying is contrary to Scripture, and that is that we are warned in the Epistle of Jude, as well as in 2 Peter, of false teachers. And listen to how Jude describes false teachers. In like manner, these people rely on their dreams, defile the flesh, and they reject authority and blaspheme the glorious one. So notice here, we have a woman preaching, she's rejecting authority, and she's relying on her quote-unquote dreams. She actually fits straight up the description of the type of person that the Holy Spirit warns us we should be on guard against and not be listening to. So we have a woman getting up and preaching her dreams. So that's two strikes against her. But here's the other part, and I mentioned this at the Making the Case conference. In Acts chapter 1, on Ascension Day, the apostles asked Jesus a very specific question, and Jesus' answer also helps us out here. In Acts chapter 1, it says, when the disciples had come together, they asked Jesus, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And hear Jesus' words. He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. And so you'll note here that this statement by Jesus, it is not for you to know times or seasons, is one that even continues to this day as we continue the task of making disciples, and the Lord is with us even to the ends of the earth and to the end of the age. And so in the charismatic and prophetic movements, the claim is that we need prophets because God is revealing to them information regarding the times and the seasons that we are in. And if you go back and you listen, you'll hear it again in some of the other bites that we'll play from her. She is reiterating this belief and this notion that she has received this direct revelation from the Lord so that we may know the times and seasons. Yet Jesus explicitly said, it is not for you to know these things. So those are three clear strikes against her, where by what she's doing and saying, she is standing in defiance and directly disobeying clear passages of Scripture.
So if someone could kind of like invent a clear red flag, a flashing red light about what false prophecy might look like, it would be this kind of stuff.
Right. It's almost as if, you know, if you had your Greek lexicon, you know, what does the Greek phrase pseudoprophetes mean? Well, it should have Lana Vozer's face and maybe a YouTube video clip. This is exactly what the Bible describes as a false prophet. And there she is supposedly preaching to these people, and they don't catch any of the obvious red flags and sirens that are going off if they had just read and understood what God's word says. And so they are in a very dangerous spot at this point because they are not hearing from God. In fact, I've given you three very clear reasons from Scripture why you should believe that what is coming from her mouth next is not a word from God. It's either from her own heart or worse, it's from the demonic.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. Today we're talking about sermons based on claimed direct prophetic revelations from God. In the case of Lana Vaser, she says a dream that she had. We'll find out what the dream was and judge what does come out of her mouth right after this.
Religious liberty, Christians engaging the media, the for you of Christianity, Christian marriage, the sexual revolution, the Benedict option. These are some of the topics for the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $120. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th, in Houston.
Faith Lutheran Church and School in Plano, Texas preaches Christ crucified. Join us each Lord's Day to hear law and gospel preaching and to receive the Lord's Supper. Our classical preschool through grade 12 Lutheran school is second to none. The school serves home educators too with online classes in the high school. We are located at 1701 East Park Boulevard in Plano, Texas. Reach us by phone at 972-423-7448 or on the web at www.flsplano.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
People are talking about the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Lutheran FCU was created solely to serve LCMS workers, families, and entities, and proceeds benefit LCMS organizations. Lutheran FCU offers deposit accounts and loans and has service access at thousands of branches and ATMs nationwide. Lutheran FCU also offers members Christian-based lending advice for new loans and refinancing, minimal account fees, and superior personalized service. Check them out at LutheranFCU.org.
The kids are supposed to be fine, and if they're not fine, we take them for therapy. We put them on medication. We tell them they'll get over it.
And what a joy. My dad had told him, you know, I had been praying every time I went to the Lord's Supper, I've been praying for you for almost 40 years to go back to church. Prayers answered, miraculously.
Today, the New York Times ran this editorial blaming Sarah Palin for that shooting when they know that is not true. They know that's an utter falsehood.
I don't think he grasped what Vaught meant when he was quoting Jesus' words from the gospel, saying that those who reject me stand condemned.
In about 20 minutes, we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. There's a taste of the four soundbites we will play for you in their entirety. You'll give us a call, send us an email, send us a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page and vote for soundbite of the week. And your votes will determine which one will win. We'll also give away the LPR bundle package. And I have Issues t-shirt and Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and notepad. It goes to the listener with the best vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in about 20 minutes. In the meantime, it's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about sermons based upon alleged prophetic revelations from God. In this case, Lana Vaser, and she claims to have received a dream from God. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. So you said we need to be able to keep in mind her disqualification as both a pastor and a claimed prophetess. When we listen for what comes out of her mouth next, what should we be listening for, Chris?
All right. So you'll note that she began by kind of giving her prophetic credentials. I've received this word from the Lord, which is always the general claim. A reminder that she has been around the world delivering this message from God, which further bolsters this her claim to being prophetic. But now she'll begin by telling an anecdotal story. And usually in these anecdotal life stories, there will be some element of it that will appear miraculous, that cannot possibly be coincidental, which everybody in the audience will see then as the sign that this is truly God who's at work in this life story. So that's where we're going next.
So I have a dream at the end of last year, and the Lord says, Jesus appears to me in the dream, and he says to me, Lana, there are new shoes for the new season. I thought, hallelujah, are they going to be nice red high heels? Like, isn't it bizarre what your brain thinks in the middle of a dream? I'm having an encounter with the Lord and my mind's going, are they going to be high heels or flats? Are they going to be flip-flops? And I can just imagine he's standing there going, okay, you ready? And so he's standing there in this dream in front of me and he says, there's new shoes for the new season. My mind's going nuts and all of a sudden he hands me a pair of shoes. If you can't see them up the back, they are a pair of Nikes. He hands me the Nikes and he says, new shoes for the new season. And I woke up. No angel turned up, no major revelation, just these are the new shoes for the new season. And so I wake up and I'm thinking, what in the world am I going to do from this point on, Jesus? What is it that you're saying? And do you know what he says to me? Go and buy a pair of Nikes. Okay, Jesus, I'm going to buy a pair of Nikes. So I go to the local shop, wherever I was traveling, and I go into the Nike store, and who would have thought you can get Nikes in every color of the rainbow? Like, amazing. And so I'm standing there, and the guy's saying to me, well, we've got these blue ones, and there's purple, and there's pink, and there's yellow. And I'm like, no, they actually won't do. And he said, but they're your size. And I said, no. You actually don't really understand. They need to be black and white. And he said, but I actually don't have them in your size. He's like, look, just take the green ones. And I'm trying not to say, listen, I had a dream. And Jesus spoke to me in a dream. And he gave me black and white Nikes. And they need to be these Nikes. And he's an amazing guy giving me his sales pitch. And I'm like, thank you, but no thanks. I can't take them. I'm walking out of the store. And he yells out to me, hang on a sec. I think I have one box left in the back. Let me just run out the back and check. So he runs out the back and he hands me these pair of Nikes. I try them on. They're a perfect fit.
Okay, Chris, what happened there?
All right. So she tells this personal life story. And because they had miraculously had the exact pair that she needed, and the way it worked out that, I mean, she was leaving and they didn't think they had them. And then he remembered that, oh, yeah, we have one box in the back. Let's see if by any chance these are the pair that you're looking for. And kind of like the story of Cinderella, wouldn't you know it? These Nikes were a perfect fit. And see, that proves that God was at work. See, that was the miraculous, you can't explain this by coincidence thing that shows that truly she is on some kind of a spirit quest that Jesus has sent her on regarding this new word for the season, that he's got new shoes for our new season. And so that's the kind of, so we've seen her give her prophetic credentials, tell an anecdotal life story with a miraculous element to it that kind of bolsters the veracity of the claim that this is a message that God wants them to hear. And then from there, she gets very specific about what God is trying to say. And if you haven't noticed that she's already contradicting the word of God by her actions and her words, and is signaling to everybody that she's a false prophetess according to the biblical definitions, then you've already, the hook has been set. It's now just a matter of reeling you in. And note that the Bible hasn't been mentioned, will not be mentioned, will not be taught. If it is even mentioned at all, it'll be twisted. And you're not hearing from God at this point. You're just hearing nonsense.
And I'm sitting there and I'm staring at these Nikes and I've got worship music on and I'm pressing in. Come on, Lord, what is it? What is it? What is it? Nothing. For 15 minutes, I sat there in silence. The Lord did not speak to me. And then he whispers, What have I taught you to do, Lana, when I highlight a symbol? Aha. Go and research what I have showed you. So part of my prophetic journey is if the Lord highlights a turkey, if he highlights Nike, if he highlights an owl, if he highlights shoelaces, whatever it is, I want to place value upon what he's saying, even if I don't understand it. And part of my process is I will go and in the natural, I'll do all I can to educate myself on a symbol. So I jump online and I start looking at Nike. And the historical context of the word Nike, do you know what it means? Victory. And instantly the Lord speaks to me and he says to me, this is the season where I am awakening my people to the victory that is already theirs. The new shoes for the new season, you already have the shoes, it's just time to step into them. The Lord says to me, in this season there is fear and intimidation that's attempting to push my people back. To push them from their promises, to say you've been contending for so long, it hasn't come to pass. Where's your breakthrough? This land doesn't belong to you, it belongs to me. The enemy's trying his best through weariness, discouragement, lies, opposition, to really push back the people of God. But what is the truth? The people of God are rising up right now. Amen? The people of God are being awakened to who they are in Christ. Amen? And looking at the land that the enemy has held for so long and going, hang on a sec, that belongs to me. That's actually mine. And I'm not here to try and fight for my victory. I'm actually coming in already victorious. So you get out. That's my land. I'm taking that. And while I'm there, I'm going to take more land than I've ever taken before. Amen?
So what was she saying there?
I have no idea. I really don't know. I mean, there were words. It's kind of like that sentence I've used from time to time. And the sentence goes like this. Blue sleeps faster than Tuesday. Now, grammatically, that's totally sound as a sentence. Doesn't mean anything. And so, I mean, apparently the word of the Lord for the new season regarding the new shoes is that we're supposed to be battling from victory that he's already won. And so when we take our land back from the devil, you know, you just don't take that land, take more land. And immediately you're just asking the question, what land are you talking about? Which victory in particular are we discussing here? And what do shoes have to do with any of this? This is nonsense. I mean, I'll be blunt. I mean, you go to an astrologer or somebody who reads palms. Their vague, you know, fortune telling is a little more specific and lucid than this. And it just doesn't mean anything. These are worthless words. These words are not from God. They have no real meaning, and the people sitting there and when they leave are gonna, you know, having written this down, go, I need to find out what this means, and so they're gonna try to figure out what it means, and the whole joke is on them because the demonic realm sitting there going, these words don't mean anything. You think you were hearing from God? You weren't hearing nothing. And of course, the Bible remained closed the entire time.
So. Someone can take what she said. She had a dream about Jesus giving her a pair of Nikes. She went and bought Nikes that looked just like it. And lo and behold, they were a pair just like her in her size, last box on the shelf. She researched Nike, found out it meant victory. And then that's when Jesus spoke to her again, explaining in these very, very cryptic and generalized terms something about victory in your life and breakthrough in your life. What am I supposed to do? I'm so supposed to go home and figure out how that applies, because she's not going to tell me, and apparently she hasn't told me. It seems as though a real prophet would be able to tell me exactly what situation in my life that's supposed to apply to.
Right. I mean, compare this prophecy to the prophecies we get from Isaiah or Jeremiah, or Ezekiel, or Malachi, or Amos. Those are real prophets. And you'll notice that these men, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon them and gives them a word, their words are law and gospel, calling Israel to repentance, the abandoning of their idols, the forgiveness of their sins being offered through their merciful and loving God who brought them out of the land of slavery into a land flowing with milk and honey. Over and again, you'll see the prophets, their words are law and gospel. In fact, Jeremiah prophesies against the false prophets of his day that are filling their minds with nonsense. And the Lord specifically says of the false prophets that if they had his words, they would be calling people to repent of their sins. Lana Vauser is just like the false prophetesses of Jeremiah's time or of Ezekiel's time, who are just prophesying their vain imaginations. They aren't preaching or teaching anything from God. It's just, these are empty words, and they don't sound at all like anything we read in the prophets of the Old Testament. And that's the thing, is just do the comparative work. Side by side, lay Lana Vauser's nonsensical statements next to Malachi or Amos or Haggai or Isaiah, and you'll immediately see the difference. This is, you know, she is just often in bizarro world, and none of this makes any sense. Whereas the prophets of old, they actually made sense. And when they prophesied the future, they gave specific details. Because of the prophets of old, we knew where Jesus was going to be born. We knew that he was going to be born of a virgin, that he would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, that in his death, his hands and his feet would be pierced. These are the types of things that we knew about Jesus from the prophets. And Lana Vauser, yeah, she claims to be a prophetess, but nobody can hang their hat on anything that she's saying, because nothing she's saying is actually saying anything.
I want to return briefly to something you just mentioned a moment ago, and that is, we usually think of false prophets as someone who comes and just says something utterly contrary to God's word. But in this case of Lana Vauser, we have someone, while she's acting contrary to God's word, no doubt about it, you've made that case quite well. What she says is contrary to nothing. It's nonsense, and as close as I can imagine to empty words. Is that as dangerous,
yeah,
as a false prophet who says the Bible's wrong or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, think of it this way. I mean, if you're engaging in a lot of religious activity and going to church and stuff like that, and you're supposedly hearing from God, remember, Scripture says of itself that it's living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword, and that the Holy Spirit himself works through the preached word to work in us repentance and contrition and sorrow for our sins, and to trust, and gives us faith and trust and confidence in the mercy of God. And so our faith is sustained through the word of God. Jesus says of the word of God, quoting Deuteronomy, that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so when somebody goes to a church and they are given nothing, it is like going to a restaurant and leaving without having eaten. At that point, your faith becomes wobbly and sick, and you become malnourished. And this is exactly what the devil would have, because the last thing the devil wants you to do is to feast on the word of God, because that strengthens and sustains your faith and humbles you, as well as gives you confidence in God's grace and mercy. And that's the last thing the devil wants to do. So he replaces all of the nutritious word of God with these false, empty words that contradict nothing because they say nothing. And in the long run, if this is your steady diet, your faith is going to die, and you will starve to death literally while sitting in church.
What kind of false teachings will you be dissecting tonight on Fighting for the Faith, Chris?
Well, we're going to be listening to a lady by the name of Havilah Cunnington preaching at Bethel Church. We're also going to go back in time and listen to John Kilpatrick from the Brownsville Revival, basically saying if you oppose him, God's going to kill you. And that will be some of the stuff that we'll cover on today's episode of Fighting for the Faith.
You can listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith in about a half hour, right after the live broadcast of Issues Etc. at PirateChristian.com. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thanks for being with us, and thanks for speaking at the fifth consecutive year at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
My pleasure, and Lord willing, I can preach for five more consecutive years. That'd be fun.
When we come back, it's Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, a simple game we like to play with our listeners. We will play four soundbites from this week's Issues Etc. audio. And after we've played those four soundbites, it's your turn to vote. 1-877-623-6943. Vote via email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter, @IssuesETC, or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Jesus the good teacher, Jesus the therapist, Jesus the giver of bling. The Issues Etc. book of the month for June is Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? 12 False Christs. It's written by regular guest Dr. Matt Richard. Read an excerpt at IssuesETC.org or purchase Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? By calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. book of the month, Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up?
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans in their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
An oasis in the desert of pop American Christianity. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education invites you to attend our Reformation Summer Conference, July 11 through 13, 2017, in Cheyenne, Wyoming, focused on truth and education. Speakers include the Reverend Rolf Preuss, Dr. Angus Manouge, and Dr. Thomas Korchak. Enjoy this year's unique banquet experience at a Wyoming bison ranch. Visit ccle.org for more speakers and information. That's ccle.org.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.